T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in, y'all. It's Tuesday. And the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. It is spectacular to be with you today. How we doing? How's everybody? Y'all doing all right? I hope so. Welcome into the show. Gonna be a busy one on the radio broadcast. I am Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, out on a well-earned vacation this weekend. He is at the Casa de Reitzel, spending his time getting haircuts and buying shoes like adults do on their vacation, sitting on the other side of the metaphorical glass with us today, the guy in charge of the radio broadcast, my man T2 Tim Snow, the Timinator, is in the building. What's up, fella?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
How much, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great.
Glad
doing
to hear
great.
It. Dude roll much up
much better
in here.
Than yesterday.
I know, because you just rolled up here with an entire breakfast buffet.
Oh, yeah, man.
I get it. I'm not going to lie. I am in the process of getting unfatter, and then I had a donut this morning. So... There's just days, T2, that you can be doing well. I've been really getting the discipline out. I've been getting up earlier in the morning. Yesterday, I went and spent an obscene amount of money on a pair of fitted, customized running shoes so that I could get my fat behind out and pound some pavement, lose some weight, and was really proud of myself. I checked in this morning. I'm down like 10 pounds since 2 weeks ago. Absolutely killing it. And then on the way to work this a.m., I stopped at a gas station because I, you know, had to get the Monster. I've switched from Gatorade to Gatorade Zero so that, I, you know, no sugar, no carbs. It's just like if they took all the good stuff out of Gatorade and left the bad stuff, that's what it tastes like. Stopped and got my Gatorade Zero. And I was about to check out, in the little display case to the right of the checkout register, there was there were donuts, and there was a guy from the donut place putting the fresh pastries out. And I was like,
it's just the temptation, yeah.
How do you people that have what's the word? Discipline, willpower, ability, how the hell do y'all do it? So I asked that half as a question. And half is a statement. Like, I truly don't understand. Because, again, you know what I did for dinner last night? Last night for dinner, I made the lady friend and I stuffed bell peppers. One of my favorite meals,
ooh,
right?
Ooh, stuffed bell peppers?
Yes.
What are they stuffed with?
So, I used to use ground beef,
uh-huh,
coated in taco seasoning.
Oh.
All right? Then you take some diced tomatoes. Mix them in there. I'll even give you the 2 second recipe. Cut the bell peppers in half. Obviously, you take the seeds and the membrane out. Put them in the oven at 425 for about 12 minutes.
Oh,
all right,
say
get
less,
them nice
man.
And early roasted. Then, while that's going on, you take yourself some onions, yellow onion. Chop them up, dice them up real small, real fine. Put them in a frying pan, medium heat. Saute them till they get nice and clear and caramelized. Then you dump. I used to use ground beef. Now I use ground turkey because, again, I'm fat. Ground turkey.
You're not fat.
Put some taco seasoning, some chili powder, some garlic, some oregano on there. Mix it up real good. Brown that on top. Once it gets almost all the way browns, Take either two full or a can of diced tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Dump that on there. Stir it all together. Let it start to boil on
you. My mouth is literally watering right now.
Then, when you've got about a minute left on that, I want you to take a big hand. Now, last night, I used low-fat cheese, which is not cheese, but it's the best I can do. But take you a big old hand of pepper jack cheese, throw that on the top, mix it up so that it gets real, real cheesy and creamy. Then you take the roasted bell peppers out of the oven, all right? You take a spoon, you fill each half a bell pepper up, level to the top with that stuff. Then you take just the littlest, just a sprinkle of Parmesan or mozzarella. You sprinkle it on top of each one, pop it back into the oven for about 17 minutes, let it finish roasting. It's going to be delightful. So I made that last night. I switched the ground beef over to turkey. I went with the tomatoes. I did fresh tomatoes, so there were no preservatives in it.
Mm-hmm.
I did the whole thing super, super healthy. And when I got done with two of them, I stopped, right? Because usually I get to like seven. I eat like seven of those before I go to bed. I got to two. And I stopped. And then yesterday, I went and I spent an obscene amount of money to have my feet measured and stenographed or whatever the hell you want to call it, and purchased a customized fitted pair of running shoes, right? Because again, fat. So I can't really run. I used to be an athlete, dude. I used to play like 40-minute basketball games.
Oh, yeah.
No subs. I was fine. Now, it's like if I walk to the end of the driveway and I hustle back, I want to die. So.
Oh, yeah. I can relate to that.
Used to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Except for now, it's gotten to the point where if I run too much, literally my feet kill me, right? So I went yesterday, and I spent an obscene amount of money, and I got myself a nice custom-fitted pair of running shoes. Like, they matched to distribute the weight and all that. I went last night after I had my two stuffed bell peppers. I threw on my custom-fitted running shoes. I went out, and I did 2.5 miles. Half jog, half walk.
All right? Oh, yeah?
Half jog, half walk. One
end. That's pretty good, though.
I felt great.
Yeah.
I felt great. I didn't get the runner's high because runner's high is not real. You're all a bunch of damn filthy liars. But I like 2.5 miles, half run, half jog, or half jog, half walk. Felt real good. Got back inside, took a hot shower, relaxed a little bit. Like, felt really good about my day. All right. For dessert, the lady friend and I snagged a bag of sugar-free Hershey chocolates.
The fiance now.
Oh, good call. Good call. Yeah. The lady fiance and I grabbed a bag of sugar-free Hershey chocolate. And I even convinced myself it was good. All right? It's not. But I convinced myself it was. I had a wonderful day. All right? I did real good for myself.
You should be proud of yourself.
I was damn proud of myself. I'm like, you know what? This is how you get less fat, right? Stuffed bell peppers, sugar-free chocolate, no junk during the day, 2.5 miles at night. You're doing good, man. We'll up that. We'll up that tomorrow to 3. We'll go to 3 miles tomorrow. And if we still feel good, we'll up it to 4. Let's do this. And then I went to bed. And I woke up, and I felt real good, right? I was like, I got the jitters out last night with the run. Mm-hmm. I ate healthy yesterday. I feel energized. I'm good to go. I woke up, and I got dressed, got ready to go, got in the car, stopped in. Every morning, I stop at the gas station. Same gas station every day. The front lady there is very nice. Actually, there was a fellow filling in today named Quinn who played professional hockey in New York. Gave me his whole backstory. I loved it. I stayed in the gas station like 10 minutes listening to this guy talk. He was great. But went in, got my Monster Energy Zero Ultra, 10 calories, no fat, 16% of my daily sodium, so sodium. Like, it's not good for me. It's just the least awful for me.
Yeah, I used to drink those.
Went in and got my Monster, and as I was sitting there getting ready to check out, up walks the dude in the little pastry stand, and he pops in there a couple of fresh donuts. And I was like,
why'd you do that?
And my brain goes,
why'd you do that,
my
man?
My brain goes, you earned this. You did so good yesterday. You earned this. And then here's the part that kills me, right? Here's the part that kills me. I get the donuts, all right? And my fat ass got two of them. I couldn't just get one, right? I couldn't just get one. I got two because they had two different kinds that I couldn't decide which one I wanted. So I get the two donuts, and I get in the car, and I'm driving to the studio, and I pop down a donut. And I get done with the donut, and I'm like, dude, you didn't, like, no, you shouldn't, no, you shouldn't, you know you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have had that donut.
That's why they call it a guilty pleasure,
shouldn't
man.
Have had that donut. And I knew I shouldn't have had that donut. So I took the other donut, and I put it in the bag, right? I put it, I've got a computer bag that I bring up every day. It's got my laptop in it.
Yep.
It's got the charger. It's got my notepad. It's got my good pens. It's got everything I need.
Now it was covered, right?
Yep.
I would hope.
And I popped the donut down into the bag, telling myself, when you get upstairs, throw this away, you fat, obnoxious loser, right?
Shouldn't talk to yourself.
Negative
that
reinforcement.
Way,
when you get upstairs, throw this donut away, you absolute worthless piece of trash. So I came upstairs, and I set the bag down, and I put my Gatorade Zero in the cooler we definitely don't have in the office, and I popped up the laptop, got it plugged into the display, did all my morning routine, right? Like, I got a routine when I get to the office.
Mm-hmm.
Do the laptop, do this, move this to the fridge, get my notepad, put it in my spot,
yep.
Make sure I have my 3-color-coded pens where I need them, do all of that. And then when I got done with all of that, I went back into the laptop to get out my charger, my phone charger. When I reached in there, what did I find? A donut. And then what did I do with the donut? I ate the freaking donut, right?
Yeah.
The same donut.
You should have threw it out the window.
14 minutes ago, I convinced myself, throw the donut away, fatty, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a date for the wedding, but you know it's coming in a couple of years, and you do not want the shirt of the tuxedo spilling out over the pants. You fat lard, get it together. I'm talking about myself and no one else, by the way. Stop it. Don't eat the donut. And then it's like, as soon as I saw the donut, I was just like, oh, donuts are so good.
well, God, see, you asked earlier how people have, like, the willpower to not do that. I think that instead of calling yourself a fat, you know, whatever you were calling yourself, the negative reinforcement that you were saying, maybe you should just not do that in your head. Because you can't talk down to yourself and expect different.
Nah. It is what it is. All right. It just is what it is. So I ate both donuts, and now I'm like, all right, you know what? Do 3.5, like, add a full mile on a night. That's not the cost of a whole donut, but, like, you got to do something. Anyway, the point of all of that is those of you that do this, right, that are, like, the people who can go out and tell themselves, oh, I'm just going to have a beer, and then just have a beer, right? Or the people that are like, I'm not going to have a donut. And then or somehow worse – somehow worse, the people who say, I'll just have half a donut and then just have half a donut. Like, were you bitten by a radioactive spider or something? Because that's
I can
a freaking superpower.
I can do that, but I'm not a big fan of donuts. I would say, like, my guilty pleasure would be something like just like candy, like chocolate is mine. Like, I can't.
Same thing.
I can't have I told my wife a long time ago, don't get like a big bag of chocolate.
Yeah.
I will eat all of it.
I told the fiance the other day, I'm like, please stop bringing candy in the house. And she's like, if you don't want it, don't eat it. I'm like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, you can't.
If it's there, I eat it.
Yeah.
Joey B just said, I can't do that. All weight loss I've ever had in my life has been a product of self-loathing. Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
I don't do a thing until I hate myself enough because I didn't do the thing. That's how it works, right? I come home.
I guess so.
I'm not the cleanest guy in the world. Fiance has learned that. I'm not the cleanest guy in the world. But there is about once a month a point where I go into the man cave and I look around and I'm like, this is disgusting, you pile of trash. Clean it. And then it's like spotless. Weight loss, same way. I've done this 100 times. I've yo-yoed down to a great, like, I look good. You know, I can tuck my shirt in again. When I take off my shirt at the beach, people don't try to roll me back into the water before I dry out. And I'll get to a good weight. And then I stop hating myself, so I just get fat again. Man, what are you going to do? That's life, right?
Well, I mean, I was just saying, maybe if you wanted to try another way, it could work.
I don't. That's all that works. Who needs therapy? All right. We got a busy show lined up for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday I told you that the Carolina Panthers were having, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, that the Carolina Panthers were having the best offseason of any team in the National Football League. I'm going to stand by that, but I had a couple of fans tell me that they think other teams have done just a little bit better. We're going to break down the NFL, see who is truly having the best offseason in the National Football League. Plus, speaking of the Panthers, Frank Reich and Scott Fitterer have both had some heavily veiled comments about the direction that the team wants to go in regarding their quarterback selection in the first round of the National Football League draft. They have told us not very much so far, so what can we decipher from this last round of comments? We'll take a look at that coming up later on in the show. Clemson and South Carolina, spring ball underway as we speak. What updates do we have? We'll get into that in just a little while. And coming up next on the show, Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the National Football League, and he just got an extension and a raise. Why? It's a very easy way to make a lot of money. Roger Goodell has mastered it. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. My name is Rob Brown. T2, the great one, the Timinator, is on the other side. Texas said, what the hell did I tune into? The Chronicles of Fat Bastard? Kinda. I call myself that all the time. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, real quick, little kids out there, don't be like Uncle Rob. All right, be nice to yourself. Be kind to yourself. If you wouldn't tell your friends that you love that they're a fat, worthless tub of lard, don't tell yourself that, even if you are. All right, let's get to some stuff, shall we? Let's get to some stuff. Roger Goodell just got himself another extension and another race. He has gone from making fat stacks to slightly fatter stacks. Goodell and the NFL's franchise owners are expected to finalize a multi-year contract extension at next week's owners' meetings in Phoenix, according to Adam Schefter. Terms of the deal have not yet been reported, but they are expected to be incentive-laden and expected to be the richest ever given to any commissioner in any sport. Schefter says that likely means that Goodell will receive north of $63.9 million that he was reported to have received for the 2020 to 2021 season. The proposed deal will be presented by the NFL's Compensation Committee, which received permission to begin working with the contract last season. And those team owners will hear that presentation on Tuesday. This would be the fourth extension Goodell has received since taking over from Paul Tagliabue back in 06. Previous deals came in 09, 2012, and 2017. Since that last deal, the NFL has successfully negotiated a collective bargaining agreement with the NFLPA and a $110 billion television rights deal with its existing partners and Amazon, which run through at least 2030. During that time, the NFL has seen its value skyrocket. The Denver Broncos just sold for an NFL record $4.5 billion. But there has also been plenty of controversy during Roger Goodell's time. Washington Commanders owner Dan Snyder has continued to be a boil upon the league's rear end and recently looped in Goodell over a previously unknown loan issued to the team. The commissioner also admitted fault for the league's treatment of Colin Kaepernick after receiving criticism for its reaction to the death of George Floyd. Schefter notes that this upcoming extension could be 64-year-old Goodell's last as commissioner, as previous commissioners Tagliabue and Pete Rozelle both left the job at 65 and 63 reported, which of course means that if Goodell does indeed follow precedent and step down in his mid-60s, which would be after this upcoming extension, that the NFL could get embroiled in a succession battle for who is going to be the next NFL commissioner. Now, blah, blah, blah. Let's be honest. None of us really care about it. We don't care, right? We don't care. We just want to know why it is, with Roger Goodell being nearly universally disliked by fans and nearly universally beloved by the owners, why this keeps happening. Well, there's two reasons. Number one is, sometimes there are things in sports that are tough to hear. Number one is, nothing matters to the league more than money. Not you as a fan, not any individual owner, no player. Nothing matters more to the league than making sure that revenue goes up year after year. And as long as revenue continues to go up year after year, Roger Goodell's in a fine spot. So we, and I put myself in this group, we as a collective of NFL fans have every single right to gripe, to moan, to complain about the National Football League in the clutches of Roger Goodell. But here is the reality. The reality is very simple. If you keep watching the National Football League, if the ratings of the National Football League continue to be where they are and grow as they are and have been, that television revenue comes in. And if that television revenue comes in, Roger Goodell's job is going just swimmingly. That's all there is to it. Part number two about Roger Goodell and the reason he's getting fat stacks is very simple. It is 100% because of the fact that Roger Goodell is the beat-up guy for the owners, right? Roger Goodell does not strictly make decisions on behalf of the league. Never has, never will, no commissioner will. The rules of the league are dictated predominantly by the owners of the franchise. The owners of the franchise, when they get the opportunity, are going to make policy decisions that benefit themselves. Let's be honest. Most of us would and frankly do. So it doesn't really matter how the decision-making policies of the league impact fans at all. It only matters how the NFL's policy-making decisions impact the players when it comes to collective bargaining. So, if the NFL is able to get the majority of what it wants policy-wise And Roger Goodell is able to smooth that over enough with the NFLPA that collective bargaining continues to be successful every time that they go to the table, then Roger Goodell's doing his job. Let me tell you a little secret. And this is true about broadcasting. It is true about entertainment. It is true about business. It is true about religion. It is true about every sociological structure that human beings are involved in. Inherently, everything is going to make decisions that are self-serving and that benefit nothing and no one but the entity itself, right? I don't care what structure you're talking about. The NFL is this way. Your local mom and pop bakery is this way. Your church is this way. Your local, county, state, and federal governments are this way. Any entity that is comprised of one or more people is going to make self-serving decisions that benefit no one but itself. That's just human nature. That's just what it is, right? I'll tell you a really good way to make money. If you are willing to be the bad guy publicly, if you are willing to fall on the sword while other people prosper, they'll give you a cut to do it, right? In any group, in any entity. And if you are able to fall on the sword while another entity profits and do so in a way that with a silver tongue, you can convince people that those self-serving decisions aren't self-serving, you can make a lot of money, right? You can make a lot of money. We see it happen in, again, every entity comprised of one or more peoples. If you are able to take a group of people who make decisions that are solely, squarely based on their own profit, their own revenue, their own self-interest, and you are able to convince the people that those self-serving decisions actively hurt, that they don't hurt them or that they don't hurt them that bad, the people who are going to benefit more will give you a cut to do just that. That is Roger Goodell's job, right? Think about this. Talk about the concussion thing. The concussion thing has come squarely to the forefront of the National Football League's attention over the past couple of years. We're aware of that, right? There's been movies made about it. There's been books written about it. It has been a major talking point in the National Football League for many, many years now. We know that the NFL makes decisions regarding CTE and concussions that are self-serving, that seek to protect it from long-term financial consequences that put football players in jeopardy. We know that they make decisions that benefit the league, that put the long-term health and well-being of players within it at risk. Roger Goodell's job is very simple. Roger Goodell's job is to go out and convince us it's not that bad. It's not that bad. His job is to go out and convince us to keep watching football even when we know that they may not be taking enough and adequate enough steps to prevent this from being the reality. That's Roger Goodell's job. And Roger Goodell is very good at it. And every time that Roger Goodell does this, the owners benefit from it, right? Because if the processes, the steps, the protocols, and the procedures were put in place to make football more safe, if the policies, procedures, and protocols were put in place to safeguard the long-term health of NFL football players, the owners would have to invest a solid chunk of their own change into revising, adapting, and executing those policies, procedures, and protocols. Boil that down, they would have to spend money, their money, in order to do that. So Roger Goodell has to do whatever he can to create a world where those investments don't happen, meaning that that money stays in the pocket of the NFL owners, A, and B, has to do it enough that football players go, yeah, my brains might turn into a big vat of mashed potatoes, but it'll be worth it, right? It'll be just fine when it's all said and done. In theory, if you come from the same side of the spectrum that I do on this particular topic, that would make Roger Goodell the bad guy, right? Roger Goodell is the guy covering for the owners so that they don't have to invest in better preventative measures for CTE, for head issues, etc., for mental health across the league. They save that money, and players will continue to play even in the face of those things. In theory, if this were a script, that would make Roger Goodell the bad guy. You don't have to like it, but it is what it is. It would absolutely make him the bad guy. But Roger Goodell is very good at his job. And so instead of looking at this, as to me, logically we should, and say, hey, Roger Goodell's the bad guy, he is shielding the people who have the most responsibility from the people that it impacts the most, and from the people who have the ability, by voting with the wallet, to demand that change, to create enough momentum to implement that change. That's Roger Goodell's job. That's why Roger Goodell is going to make probably in the ballpark of $68 million moving forward per year to continue to do what he's doing for the league. It's really simple. There is a ton of money in being willing to step up to protect something that is inherently bad as good, to deflect something that is inherently self-serving as for the benefit of the group, and perhaps the most profitable of all, to convince people that something that is self-serving for the minority is actually good for the majority. There are political think tanks and lobby groups on both sides of the aisle in American politics who get paid a lot of money from self-serving entities to convince both politicians and the American public that things that are good for the goose are good for the gander when the goose is actually the fox trying to invade the hen house. That's a farm metaphor. There are people who get paid mucho dinero to take things that are obviously bad for the public and spin them with a silver tongue in a way that make you believe that, nope, that's counterintuitive. It's actually good for us. That's what Roger Goodell does for a living, right? I have told you guys many times that I do not have a favorable view of Roger Goodell. To me, Roger Goodell is a clown. Now, do I think that Roger Goodell knows what he's doing? We all know somebody that would sell our metaphorical soul in order to make a dime by touting something that is straight up untrue. There are guys in my industry who make careers out of creating stories, citing sources that just aren't true, and passing them off as real and getting attention for them. They know what they're doing. They damn sure know what they're doing. There are politicians who make a lot of money from those lobbying groups.
In some cases, they believe it.
Maybe. Some people may convince themselves of a lie because they tell it enough times. You are absolutely correct. But I think a lot of them know what they're doing. There are politicians who make a hell of a lot of money from lobbyist groups to go into the halls of Congress and get legislation passed that protects a minority from the well-being of the majority, which would be less profitable. And they know what they're doing, but they're willing to sell that metaphorical soul for a buck. And they get it because it's there. That's Roger Goodell's job. I think Roger Goodell is a clown, just like I do with media members who make up stories and cite sources, just like I do with politicians who push unhealthy and, frankly, bad legislation because they know that the lobbyists are going to hand them a blank check for doing it. When you know what you are doing and you continue to do it and you do it for a dollar, that's when I think you're a clown. That's when I think you're bad for your profession, for the public. And Roger Goodell's in that group. He knows what he's doing. He knows how he's doing it. He knows why he's doing it. And he continues to do it for about $65 to $68 million per season. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got a lot more to get into on the Rob Brown Show. I am Rob Brown. T2's on the board. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on, wrapping up hour number one here on the broadcast. Rob, T2 filling in for the great one, Lonzo. He'll make his triumphant return next week on the show. Glad to have the Timinator along with us. Let's see, a couple of texts and tweets and emails and Facebook chats and comments that have come in so far. Skrilla said, anytime Goodell walks, they should always play the theme from Benny Hill. I have said the circus theme song is appropriate because Goodell's a clown, right? I had somebody tell me, and honestly, frankly, I used to believe this. I used to say, I don't blame Roger Goodell, right? Like, I'm not upset with Roger Goodell, the guy, because I get it. Roger Goodell is there to be the shield between an upset fan base and the owners. Roger Goodell is there to issue the justification for why owners make decisions that are good for the owners and exactly nobody else. But I've kind of evolved that thought. And I have evolved that thought now to, yeah, but you know what you're doing, right? You know the decisions that are being made that you are defending are bad and actively hurt people. And if you, even if you're not the one making the decision, even if you're not the one executing the decision that hurts people, if you actively defend and excuse the decision that hurts people, then you're part of the process that's hurting people. Roger Goodell's in that group. So he does not get kid glove treatment. There is no more, oh, I just get it because he's doing it for a paycheck. No, no, no. When you do something that hurts people, that creates unnecessary drama or malfeasance, you lose that. You lose that. Marcus says it should be pronounced Goodell because he's a goober. That's a dad joke for you. Yes, it is, Marcus. Yes, it is.
Trey says, this is a good one.
Trey says Goodell gets contract extension. Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. Machismo. Razor Ramon. I love it. Hudson says, why don't NFL players wear Guardian helmet covers in games? They could design them with team colors and logos to look basically the same, except, you know, safer. Well, there's two things. Number one, Hudson, is that they are still compiling the scientific data to determine how much safer they are, right? And number two is because they look goofy, right? That's it. I cannot find a better answer than because they look goofy. They make the helmets look goofy. You know what I'm talking about? The you see them in college preseasons now. They put the helmet on, and then they put this big cap on top. It looks like a giant swimmer's cap with foam pads on top of it. But they look goofy, right? I agree. You could paint them. You could slap a sticker on there, make them look, you know, have the team logo.
Which helmets are these?
They're called Guardian caps. If you want to Google it, you'll see what I'm talking about. They look like big swimmer caps that fit over the top of a football helmet, and they're covered in little pad ribs, I guess. Little padded studs across them. Yeah, they look goofy, right?
Yeah, they look like, I guess, the old style helmets.
And like with anything else.
With a modern twist, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like anything else, presentation matters as much, if not more, than anything else.
They look like robotic brains.
They're goofy looking, right? And if you don't believe that, I want you to tell me the last time that a Fortune 500 CEO gave a presentation to his board not wearing a power suit. A tailored suit will give you an air of relevance and confidence that shorts and a t-shirt don't, right? Listen, those of you that watch the stream, Hudson, those of you that watch the stream, you see Rob Brown rolls up in this B almost every day with some sort of sports jersey on.
Yep.
Right? Got the Pensacola Ice Flyers jersey on today. I got a Swamp Rabbits
jersey. It's rare that I don't see you in a jersey.
Yep. I've got a Swamp Rabbits jersey. I've got a Rob Brown Show baseball jersey. I've got a Drive jersey with my name on it. I've got three Triumph jerseys with my name on it. I've got a Furman polo that I rock consistently. I've got all of it, right? I wore sports gear all the time. It is not because sports gear is the only gear that I own or the only gear that I wear, much to the dismissal of the fiance. I wear sports stuff every day because I'm supposed to be the sports guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm supposed to be the sports guy in this building and in the community. And if I roll up in a hockey jersey with my name emblazoned on it, whether it's true or not, most people are going to go, that guy really likes sports.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He has adapted the uniform for his day-to-day. He really likes sports. And that's the impression I need you to have if you don't know me. When I roll up into a Drive game with a Drive jersey that has my name across the back, you're going to go, oh, that guy really likes to drive.
Yep.
If I show up to a Triumph game with a green Triumph kit with my name across the back, you're going to go, this guy loves this team. If I roll up to a Swamp Rabbits game with a white Swamp Rabbits jersey with my name across the back, you're going to go, this guy loves the team. He's invested in the team. And that's the perception that as the sports dude, I want out there. That's the perception I want you to have. Presentation matters as much, if not more, than anything else. And whatever they can do to make the uniforms look sleeker, look better, and have the fans fall in love with them, they're going to do it. And those Guardian caps, frankly, just don't look cool. That's all it comes down to.
It looks like dirt bike tire tread.
Yeah, that's it.
Just imagine you hitting your head on the ground with that thing. You're just going to dig into the dirt.
That's exactly right. Skrilla says, Goodell is the owner's fall guy. They would rather have him than the light shining bright on the owners. That's exactly what it comes down to. That's exactly what it comes down to. So, anyway.
This guy looks like a mushroom head from Mario.
Yeah. They look like, you look like Toad from Mario Brothers. That's exactly right. They don't look cool, right?
Yeah, they look goofy.
You know what they are? It's like the old joke about pocket protectors, right? Like if you're a nerd, you rock pocket protectors. Why? Because you got all those pens that lose ink. It keeps your shirt safe from ink stains. But despite the fact that they're functional, they work, they're proven to work, even if the science is not all the way in, the initial glance is that they at least increase safety to some degree. Like a pocket protector, it doesn't matter that they work. It doesn't matter that they're successful. It doesn't matter that they do what they're designed to do. All that matters is that when you wear a pocket protector, people get the impression you're a dork. right? That's it. And that's what these Guardian Caps are to the league. That's why they won't go with him yet. But we'll see if that changes. Skrilla said full kit wanker. Yeah. Jerseys only, boys. Jerseys only. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got some spring football that we need to get into. World Baseball Classic final is tonight. Team USA takes on Japan. The U.S. dominated their semifinal. Japan needed a walk-off double bottom nine to get by Mexico yesterday. And Randy Arozarena is a dude, my guys. We'll talk WBC in the next hour. A lot of college basketball to get into. We got to do a bracket breakdown and more on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.